Rob Starbuck has spent the better part of two decades making buildings work better, from high streets to head offices to hospitality brands. Now, Head of Engineering and Sustainability, EMEA, at Frasers Hospitality, Rob's leading the charge on energy innovation and smarter building performance across an international portfolio with sustainability, compliance and cost control all on the line. This isn't just theory. Rob's a chartered surveyor with hands-on FM roots and a career that spans brands like Deliveroo, Carluccio's, The Body Shop and Whitbread. In this episode, he joins us to talk about Smart FM and what it really means, how it helps tackle today's energy challenges, and why there's a lot more to be optimistic about than you might think. Rob, welcome to the FM Fix.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to our chat today. So if we rewound the clock, I would love to know what you were doing before you got into FM and how you fell into it.
I've been doing FM since it was called FM. I was doing maintenance, working for NatWest in their property team in the west of England, doing maintenance, you know, day to day. Didn't really group it together with anything else. It was just you delivered that. You worked with an engineer as a building surveyor and taken it from there and just continued through my career working in maintenance, which then transferred to FM.
Did you ever think through that time you would end up doing something else?
No, I think I've always wanted a relatively practical job, one that I'm not in the same place 5 days a week. That I have an output, you know, I can show what I've been doing. And that's why I chose the degree I did. You know, I did a building surveying degree, very practical, vocational, and I've just stuck with that. And yeah, I've wibbled my way through my career. It hasn't been a straight line. It's been a roller coaster at times. with different organizations I've worked for, with redundancies, with, you know, changes of how people are operating. And you know, that's, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm quite clear, and I say to my kids now, you know, you can plan your life, but don't have it so set as a plan that you feel disappointed when you don't reach your goal.
What are the biggest challenges that businesses are facing with increasing energy and utility costs?
I mean, quite obviously, from a financial perspective, it's having a massive impact. And that runs all the way through the business. So the businesses that I've been involved in recent years, energy, whilst it's not been the biggest cost in the business, the changes and the volatility of the energy market has had some catastrophic influences at times. You know, enough to stop them investing in projects because the free flow of cash isn't there because they're paying it out. And also, I think there's a you know, in the back of your mind, there are cost issues coming up. So it's about protecting yourself for the future.
And the energy prices are so volatile.
There's definitely uncertainty in the market. I think at Frasers, we're lucky. We've got a fantastic procurement team, and they are probably better than I've worked with in any organization, where they are out there with the right support and consultants, and we're hedging, you know, years in advance to make sure we're not overpaying, and we're trying to grasp value where we can, and that is absolutely helping us in terms of our planning going forwards.
Do these challenges vary globally across different regions?
Yes, I mean, across the markets that I operate in, you know, we you know, the Middle East is very different from Europe. I think Europe and UK very similar because of the sourcing issues. And in terms of the Middle East, you know, the free flow of oil allows a little bit more freedom in terms of in terms of what they're doing. You know, the cost is significantly lower than we pay in Europe.
What are the latest innovations and technology that you are seeing supporting this sector?
I don't think there's anything critically innovative coming forwards. I think it's about building on what's been used in the past. I think it's just understanding the importance of the either techniques or products that are out there. You know, solar is becoming more cost effective, but has its restrictions. Controls are getting easier. It's easier to put a control system in, and control to me is really important. But you know, the technology is there. I think it's more about technology is not changing; it's just coming down in price and becoming easier to implement and use.
Mm. What's the best use of technology that you've seen in your time, Rob?
From a hotel perspective,
sure.
It's in-room controls. You know, ensuring that you are controlling temperature, lighting in a space for what the space is being used for. So whether that's that it's unoccupied or that it's house cleaner are in there, getting it ready for guest arrival, for when a guest walks in through the door and it's the right temperature. But, you know, critically, we're not putting energy into a room when it's not needed.
Got you. What does Smart FM actually mean, and how does it show up in your day-to-day work at Frasers Hospitality?
I think Smart FM is about grasping control. You know, it goes back to that control piece. It's about visibility of operation, knowing what's happening, and then controlling it. For Frasers, we are working towards Smart FM. I think that's probably a fair case. We need to, and I think we're all aware, we need to take steps forward, you know, embrace some of the opportunities that are out there. We've got a big refurbishment coming up on one of our London hotels, and that will embrace some of that smart side of things. You know, that we will be able to control remotely the services across the building, whether that be for the maintenance manager, for the reception team, for the general manager. They've got to see what's going on and have that visibility that they can then control and make decisions on maintaining, repair, etc.
Nice. So that's maybe giving you the opportunity to be more proactive in your maintenance approach than reactive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the model that I've always aspired to is pushing proactive maintenance to maybe 70-75% of your maintenance spend,
right?
And your reactive only being 25-30%. I think in reality, in the businesses that I've worked in, it's been at best 50-50 and probably 70-30 in favor of reactive, because sometimes it can be difficult to get businesses to understand the benefit of being proactive, because if you're not seeing it breaking down, you're not necessarily understanding that it needs to be maintained. I think there's an opportunity to educate some of the senior leaders to show that actually, by things not breaking down, by spending that money up front, you're getting a lot of benefit from that. Whether it be brand benefit that you're not seeing, brand disruption, cost benefit. You know, it's a powerful thing to do, but it's difficult to swing it, and it's also one that's very easy to cut when you get into tougher times. To cut back on your planned maintenance gives you a quick, easy cash win that you don't necessarily see the downside of until maybe 3, 6, 12 months later, when things start to fall over and your reactive costs go up and your business disruption goes up.
What key steps would you advise businesses to take over the next 12 months to remove energy inefficiencies?
I think number one is understand, you know, where you're using your energy. And that can be a challenge because many businesses have one meter, you know, one electricity meter coming into the property, one gas meter. And whilst you might get half hourly readings off that, it doesn't really tell you where you're using that energy. So getting in some decent metering across your building, across your property to understand where you're using that energy. And then you can start with that data to take you forward and say, okay, how can we deal with this? How can we get to a place that we can start saving some energy? So data is key from that perspective.
So Rob, we know that FMs are really good at putting out fires. And at the end of every podcast, we like to go through what we call the FM Fixes Reactive Round.
Okay.
So some quick fire questions for you. What's the most common energy-wasting mistake you see in buildings?
Not turning things off or controlling a temperature.
Cool. What's one bit of tech you'd never manage a building without?
Oh, a decent CAFM system would be something. It's not always possible, but absolutely.
If your FM career had a theme song, what would it be?
Tub thumping, Chumbawamba.
Nice. Rob, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the session today.
It's been great, yeah. Thanks for the invite, Tom.
Good stuff. Great to see you, Rob.
Thank you. Cheers.